Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
What the hell is that, bud?
I think it's a rocket ship or something.
Oh, but it's not a rocket ship.
Yeah, it is a rocket ship that's shaped like an A-bomb.
That is nothing. That's some guy photoshopped that.
Oh, that's fake.
Yes, it's fake. Some clown writing about the Tunguska event in Russia back at the turn of the century decided that he would create a spaceship that was part atomic bomb blast, part, looks to me like Bell. It's a Bell, you know. And that's why all that stuff happened in Tunguska. I know it was an alien craft that flattened the force. You know, I think there's a very good point made there by Dr. Sadler. The fact is that we've had one event in the last 100-plus years that was everything that we were told an event like that, a object, okay, that is traveling through space and hitting the Earth at a high rate of speed, it would cause essentially the death of life on this planet. You know, we have the like movies like Deep Impact, the big tidal wave, and the dead, you know, people and the dust and this and that. Well, this Tunguska event, which was a meteorite or even perhaps some have theorized a comet, but more likely a meteorite that gets denser and denser and denser until it explodes just over the Earth's surface. And the explosion so profound, so huge that it flattened forest. Thousands of square miles of forest. Okay, it flattened forest. That's it.
Well, you don't know. It could have.
It could have what, Margaret?
Yeah, I'm going to feel. Why didn't do it?
Because there was not the. Excuse me, I'm not finished. There was not.
Yeah, you're just trying to think of an answer.
I'm talking to Phil before I put my right fist right through you, and whoever's standing. Get out from behind him, Robert. You don't want to be there. I believe that if that, you call it a comet.
It was a meteorite. It was a meteorite. And a meteorite is a denser meteor, I think. And it's I believe it's traveling at a higher rate of speed. I don't know. But there, it does tend to come apart or explode because as it's traveling toward the Earth, and there, these things weigh an enormous amount. The meteor in Russia, just a couple of months ago, when they found the largest chunk of it that survived was the size of a Volkswagen bus. Or maybe that was what it was originally. But it was super, super heavy. It was 15 tons. So think about that. Size of a Volkswagen bus, which is probably a Volkswagen bus, is no more than a couple of thousand pounds. 2,500 pounds. And this thing is 15 tons?
How much is that?
Well, how many pounds in a ton, Phil?
Well, you got me. How many pounds in a ton? How many tons in a pound? How many? I don't know. But in any event,
well, that's so we don't know.
No, but the point is that it's extremely dense, and there was no cataclysm. So I think that he's making a good point there, and I think that whatever model we work from some of this stuff.
Yeah, if you ever saw that movie Deep Impact, when it hit the Earth, there's a tidal wave and everything.
Phil is saying that the movie is not the same as the reality.
By the way, I never gave you guys a chance. Oh, I think I did. That movie Oblivion?
Well, you gave a very short review of it.
It's the worst movie that Tom Cruise has done in years. Just totally sucked. Didn't make any sense. Completely incoherent. Morgan Freeman's in it, and there's no reason why he's in it. There's some alien attack. It's the biggest load you've ever seen. Like, that movie Oblivion is a fantastic example of too many freaking people making a decision about a movie. Too many people making decisions about a, you know, just a story. So you got, hey, let's get they got a conspiracy theory, and the Earth is controlled by an alien force, but they don't think they are controlled by an alien force. They think they're still at war with it. And it's a husband and wife. No, it isn't. It's a man and a chicken, and I don't know.
What do you mean a man and a chicken? You allow a man with a chicken?
There's no man with a chicken. I'm just saying that there's too much going on in this movie that doesn't make any sense at all. So it sucked. And it just goes to show you that even Tom Cruise, well, of course Tom Cruise can make a bomb. I mean, he's made many of them.
Well, name, other than this Oblivion, what do you call a Tom Cruise bomb?
I thought Cocktail was the biggest turd.
Get out of here, man. Cocktail is great in everything.
Cocktail sucked on white bread, man. No good. No, 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 no.
What about War of the World?
I thought War of the Worlds was the biggest dump that a dog could ever take. And yet it came out of the rear end of a movie studio, not a dog.
I thought War of the Worlds was cool. Are you kidding?
Cool?
I thought it had special effects.
I thought War of the Worlds was a cool movie, yeah. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
All those things walking around. Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Well, everyone I know, you're serious. So those big things lumbering around, what were those things?
Those were the things from Mars. They were walking around and they were grabbing people and siphoning their blood.
I don't recall.
And in fact, that was a far more accurate, it was a much more accurate depiction from the book by H.G. Wells than the original film, the original War of the Worlds, the Gene Barry one. I mean, the Gene Barry one, I think, did not have these things didn't walk around on legs, you know. They were flying through the air, and that's...
That's when you got hit. Didn't you say that you got belted or you were smacked by your father?
Yeah, didn't I tell that story on the air already?
Throw it off the air.
Yeah, my dad hit me because, and he didn't hit me, he didn't beat me, but he smacked the back of my head because I laughed at a part in that movie where a priest gets zapped by a Martian ray.
Good God.
Take it easy, will ya?
Why'd you do that?
Because it was funny.
You laughed at a priest? What happened?
In the movie, the alien, the Martians are on their way to attack, okay? And,
Now, we're talking about what?
War of the Worlds.
Talking about War of the Worlds.
All right. War of the World or...
War of the Worlds, the H.G. Wells one.
All right, Phil, you don't have to go, War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds. And so, the Martian ship takes off. Well, there's a priest who steps into the breach, if you will. Everything's been devastated. Everybody's dead. Nobody can stop it. The army can't stop it. The cops, they're going to do what they're going to do, the Martians. And we're at their mercy as they've already killed a bunch of guys and they're moving forward. So this priest comes out of the crowd, if you will, holding the crucifix, walking toward, and by the way, that was Ron Howard's father who played the priest.
What is his name?
Rance Howard.
Rance?
Are you sure it's Rance?
Margaret, yeah, I'm sure it's Rance. He's been in a lot of his son's movies. He's been in a lot of movies.
Rance.
R-A-N-C-E, yeah. I'll tell you who Rance Howard is, never mind. So,
yeah, was it porn?
No, it wasn't porn. It wasn't porn. I was gonna say, if you remember the opening to the movie Chinatown...
Oh, Phil, no one remembers that movie.
All right. Well, some people may remember that at the beginning of the movie, not the beginning, but early, a sheep herder comes in with his sheep into the city council meeting in Los Angeles. And he's screaming at the council saying, "Where do you want me to take him? There's no water." Remember that?
Yes.
That's Rance Howard. That's Ron Howard's father in that scene. Now, so this priest, played by Rance Howard, starts to walk toward the alien Martian ships. And he's saying the Psalms, you know, "I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death and I will fear no evil." And he is showing the cross. He's holding the cross up to the Martian ship. And, of course, the thinking is, oh, even Martians are going to recognize this man as a holy man, or they will recognize this symbol, and even the Martians will back off. And what they do is they just, you know, they fire up their disintegrating beam, aim it right at this priest and zap him, and turn him into a pile of ash. And when that happened, I laughed because it was not expected. I didn't expect it. And so I laughed. That's when my old man smacked me. He goes, "That's a priest of God there."
Priest of God. That is so Catholic. Was your father Irish?
Yeah, my dad was Irish. Scotch. We don't know what the hell my dad was. He was adopted.
Your father was adopted?
Yes.
Well, then how do you know what you are?
Well, first of all, isn't the mother's side?
Yeah, it's on a mother's side.
Well, you said your mother's father ran out, didn't he?
My mother's father, my real grandfather, was kicked out of the family's life by my grandmother's new husband, who was a Toronto cop named Frank Gray. And when he married her, he told the father, my mother's father and my aunt's father, he told him to get lost, not to ever come around these kids or the family again.
That's illegal.
Well, nowadays it would be illegal. I don't know what. And this guy was a cop. And what are you going to do? You know, it was the 1910s. You had no, people didn't have the same say. So that's what happened there. And so, but my mom knows who her dad was, and she knows who her mom was, and they were Irish people. And her mother especially was descended of County Meath Irish. So I know we got some Irish. The rest of it...
Yeah, the rest of it, what if you find out?
Yeah, well, I know he's going to say it. You don't know, and Mr. Nettie, he doesn't look anything like it.
What if you find out you've got, well, I better not say it, but Negro in you?
Don't say black, man.
If I have black blood, what do you mean, so what?
Well, that would make it hard to get a cab, wouldn't it?
It would make it hard to get a cab.
You having a hard time getting a cab now?
No.
Yeah, but when it find out.
That's right, bud. When I come out publicly and I say, by the way, I'm part black, suddenly the cab service will just die. Is that what you're saying?
You've got to, bud, you've really got to go in for some kind of a physical. I really want a CAT scan, everything from the neck up. Everything from the neck. That alone will take hours.
All I'm saying is...
I know what you're saying. You ain't saying nothing. You ain't saying nothing. What if I'm part black? So what? What if I'm part... I don't know what the hell I am. But what's happening now, and this is the exciting part of the genome, then we got to take a break. You can get your DNA read, man. You can find out what your mitochondrial DNA is, and you can find out exactly where your damn people came from. All right, we'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Tons of things. A 19-foot python was killed. 128-pound python kills as it wrapped itself around a man. How about that, baby? Terrence Williams arrested. The Celtic player was accused of brandishing a gun at his son's mother, Terrence Williams of the Boston Celtics. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, our website, online at philhenryshow.com. Right now we have live streaming video of our show, as we always do. Every night we're on the air here, so you can see the show, you can listen to the show. We're also live and mobile, and I'm holding up here my iPhone, and you can see. By the way, our movie on Saturday night was, that was the longest damn thing. We got Chris Tombo is going to join us. He's a journalist, and we're going to talk about this Python story. A 19-foot python killed as it tried to wrap itself around a man and kill him. And, you know.
Those ones, they eat a guy up.
Yeah, like whole.
Well, yeah, I mean, they eat people whole. Or they eat things whole, I don't know. We had a movie on Saturday night, which was Birth of a Nation, D.W. Griffith. It was 3 hours, bud.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a little long, okay?
Well, you said it was a classic.
It is a classic, Phil.
Well, it may. All right, okay. It's a classic. It was three. If we're gonna have a 3-hour-long movie, then we got to start earlier. We start at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, start all the time. Start at 8 o'clock, and we did 3 movies last week.
Yeah, I did 3 movies last week.
All right, but okay. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying, if you have a movie, if you encounter a movie that long, man, start earlier. Okay.
Well, I agree with you. I thought it was the most bizarre film I think I've ever seen.
Well, it was made by D.W. Griffith around 1916. With a really unusual point of view. I don't think any of us really see, nobody in America realistically sees the Ku Klux Klan as a savior of American values. That's exactly how this film portrayed them. All those white actors in blackface was comic, you know, and the way they made the mulattoes look all evil, it was, yeah, totally racist, you know, and there was actually, at the beginning of the movie, and I believe that this was D.W. Griffith, or as the producers of the film inserted this, a little bit of a disclaimer saying that, well, you know, this is the attitude today, but things can change. It was trying to distance themselves a little bit from, maybe they got some bad publicity, maybe the reaction of the movie was bad, but 3 hours, you know.
Well, about the one time, man, they got like those white actors all blackface, they're trying to do a... tap dance and everything.
Yeah, they got the white guys dance better than the black guys.
So?
Well, that just proves, you know, that it just proves that a white guy is going to dance better.
Yeah, don't prove nothing, man. I mean, those guys could dance better.
Well, I think what Bud's trying to say in his idiotic way is, see, white guys are dancers too, I guess, so...
Yeah, but I mean, the whole point is that when they were voting,
Oh, that part was asinine when they were voting, or they were going to vote, and the Klan was sitting there on horseback.
Yeah, in other words, Griffith couldn't have been more wrong about how the country evolved the law and what exactly did happen. The Klan was eventually, you know, for all intents and purposes, run out of business by law enforcement in this country because of the outrageousness and criminality of their behavior. And I don't think Griffith was aware of any of that. To him, they represented what they call themselves, knights, shining armor. So it's pretty weird. All right, let's get on here. Chris Tomba, and Chris is a freelance journalist. You've got the story. Let me get my glasses on, Chris. You've got the story in this Python. By the way, how are you doing this evening?
I'm pretty fair this evening, Phil. It's up for a slight cold.
Well, I hope you get better.
Thank you.
A 19-foot python. And where was this?
Well, this was in Florida. By the way, it's a record breaker for size in that state. A 19-foot python was killed in Florida. And as I said, it was a record. It weighed 128 pounds.
Good Lord.
And it was killed after it started wrapping itself around the man who found this wild creature. It was a Burmese python spotted by the side of the road that the gentleman by the name of Jason Leon and his friends were traveling on late at night. And he stopped and he pulled it out of the bush by the tail. And that's when this python started to wrap itself around his legs.
So these were a bunch of young men trying to be macho.
Right, right. It was obviously a bunch of young men who's traveling along at night, and who knows what they were into or where they were going and so forth. And as young men will, they challenge each other or see these events as opportunities to prove your manhood and so forth. And so that's what they did. And this Leon suddenly found himself with a python wrapped around. Now, this python broke a record, as I said, for the largest python found in the state of Florida. Its official length was 19 feet, weighed 128 pounds. The previous record for the biggest python in Florida was one came in at 17 foot 7 inches.
Is that the only state where you're going to find these things?
Well, not necessarily. You can find the pythons, and I believe they've been found in some of the Gulf states, such as Alabama and Mississippi. But this was a nighttime sighting and a capture of a Burmese python of more than 18 feet. When the snake coiled around this man's legs, he asked his friends to help him. They tried to get the snake off him by cutting the python. Leon had experience with these snakes. I can't read this for the minute. He knew what he was doing. The Florida Fish and Wildlife folks praised Leon's cool demeanor as they try to cut this snake off of him. Well, I've got to tell you, it's I don't see any cool demeanor at all. I see a fool who is fooling around with something that's going to kill him.
Well, I agree with you. And he grabbed the thing by the tail. So right away, you're cruising for a bruising, right? You're handling an animal in a fashion that probably doesn't appreciate. It's going to defend itself. Time and again, people who think they're familiar with animals, especially wild animals, will go and do and behave in such a manner as they see fit, and their friends don't know because this is all new to them. And the guy is posturing.
Right, right. Well, it's like a story of Randy Coe, and I knew Randy Coe. He was a writer, and he was also a motorsports enthusiast. He was up in the desert over here in California, in the Colorado Desert of California. So he's up in a high desert. Have you ever heard this story?
No, I haven't.
Right, well, he's walking along. Now, you must understand that the number one place where a rattlesnake bites a human being is, where do you think that is?
On a leg.
No, it's not on a leg.
Well, I would think on the hands.
On the hands, exactly, because human beings have a tendency to stick their hands where they don't belong, and they wind up getting bit by a rattlesnake. So most rattlesnake bites are on the hands and on the arms.
All right, hold on. We're taking a break here. We got Chris Tomba with us, a freelance writer, sports writer on a 19-foot python that wrapped itself around a guy in Florida, and this guy could have died had it not been killed. And it was killed. I want to find out how the damn thing was killed, though, man, because I don't think we have that information.
Yeah, it's right there.
Yeah, no. This is the way this thing was printed. We'll be right back with more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here, the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com, live streaming video of our show every night. You get a podcast of the show the next day tomorrow. We also have a daily classic podcast. We have our archives, 5,000 hours, 5,000 hours. And I just was thinking about the numbers the other day. We've done 100 and, I believe, 65 podcasts. Which is roughly 83, let's call it 82, 83 hours. And some people might say, well, you're giving away, that's a lot of material. 83 hours you're giving out of 5,000.
Oh, that's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, it's a that's nothing. That's a drop in a bucket.
Yes, that's what I said.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a drop in the bucket.
Okay, it's a drop in the bucket. And you're right, all three of you. It is a drop in the bucket. So,
you belched.
What did I tell you about that?
But he said not to point it out.
What did I tell you about that?
You said not to point it out.
Then why did you point it out?
Out of force of habit.
Yeah, because you want to, man.
No.
Don't do it again.
Phil, you're always free with your belches during the pre-show.
I don't care. I don't need him sitting there going, you belched. I'm in the middle of doing something here. So, you know, that's not a lot. But the podcasts each day, whether it is our show podcast from the night before or it is a classic podcast from our archive, gives you a nice little well-rounded view of what our show is about these days. So check us out at philhendryshow.com with a backstage pass. You will get a free download with a one-month pass. You get three free downloads with a six-month pass. And you get five free best-of downloads from our shop with a one-year subscription to Phil Hendry Show. .com. All right, back with Chris Tomba here, freelance writer, as we talk about the 18-foot python. You took some notes. I think you got some better notes here, right?
Right. Well, the announcement I've got here, Phil, is a Jerry Pertine is driving us back to the hotel tonight. We're staying over on North Miami Beach, but it was a Burmese python, 19 feet long. It's 18 feet 8 inches. Is what the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission said it was. The wildlife officials said on Monday that the Miami man spotted about 3 feet of the snake sticking out of the roadside brush. He grabbed it and started dragging it to the open. When the snake began to wrap itself around his leg, he called to his friends for help, and then they used a knife to kill it. The python weighed 128 pounds.
What if those people said no? Forget, I'm not going to help you.
What if they said what?
What if they said no, we're not going to help you, his friends?
Well, it would appear to me if his friends said no, we're not going to help you, he's probably got the wrong mates.
They wouldn't be friends.
No, they'd decidedly not be friends. But to go to the heart of what your question, I think, is about, but I would say that that man is a dead man.
Is the python going to eat him? Is the python going to eat him?
The python would certainly first kill him to immobilize him. He would be a dead man, and then at that particular juncture, then the python would begin, yes, to consume parts, if not all, of that man.
Oh my God, that is disgusting.
Yes, it's nature can be a very disgusting thing sometimes, especially when it comes to the survival.
And so the friends came over and killed it with a knife. That's all I wanted to find out. What do you think about a guy, I think you were alluding to it, the Florida Fish and Wildlife guys were being very nice to this kid. And I say kid, do we know how old this guy was?
You're talking about Mr. Leon?
Yeah.
Let me see my notes. I don't think he was much more out of his 20s. I think they were all young men in their 20s. But be that as it may, you know, it's this gentleman was had experience around these kinds of exotic animals, and so I think it probably came as a bit of a shock that the animal reacted as quickly as it did.
Tell us, you were telling a story about a rattlesnake.
Right, well, the rattlesnake story, the reason why I brought that up is another example of handling wild animals by individuals who think they've got experience handling wild animals, and they find out that now they do not have the experience they thought they had. And more to the point, the experience that they do have will damn sight probably get them killed. And in the case of Reggie Breyer, who was working on a set piece for me on the Barstow to Vegas motorcycle, you know, the off-road race.
Right.
He saw a rattlesnake. Now, we were up at Willow Springs, and he saw a rattlesnake. And he took the rattlesnake by the neck.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, especially since a rattlesnake can swivel its head almost 360 degrees. It doesn't make any difference.
Right, well, he had this by the neck, and he had his thumb right over the head of the rattlesnake. Most people think, but most people who don't know anything about rattlesnakes think that is going to immobilize the head of the rattlesnake. And you're going to be absolutely marvelously safe as you carry this snake about with whatever intention you may have.
But why did he do this?
Well, I think he was trying to clear the area. Again, we were camping, and he saw this thing. And like I was saying, human beings, being the curious breed that we are, will stick our hands into these different places. And he found this snake. He was able to grab the snake. It was a baby snake, by the way. And a baby rattlesnake is a very toxic animal.
Because they have a tendency to what? Put all the venom in?
Yeah, a baby rattlesnake will release all of its venom. It does not have the ability to regulate the amount of venom depending upon the prey. A baby rattlesnake will go ahead and just overdose, if you will, the prey, killing it instantaneously. Well, making a long story short, as our good friend Mr. Henry loves to say from time to time, our good friend Mr. Ray was bit by this rattlesnake as it turned its head, as you said, Phil, and sunk its fangs right into the corner of his thumb. Now, Reggie tosses breaks the snake's neck or does something, I think, to dispose of it. He wanders down the road to a fire station. And I say wander because I am saying to you, as clear as bell, he was not in any great hurry.
You're not supposed to run because that'll make the venom go faster.
That's not why he was walking. He was walking because it was being very casual.
Well, what did he think? He thought he was okay?
I think he thought they'd have some anti-venom. And I think he thought that he had enough time to get the anti-venom. He was wrong on both accounts. Number one, you've got to get the anti-venom in you much quicker than Reggie sauntering down the road. And number two, they didn't have any anti-venom.
And this was a fire station.
Right. It was one of the sort of outlying fire stations. So what they did do is they took one look at his hand, they took one look at his face, and they immediately strapped him to a cot.
Oh, God.
That's right, and called for medevac.
So they medically evacuated this guy, huh?
Right. And Reggie thought all he needed was anti-venom, and they said, you're not going anywhere. We're putting you on a stretcher. And we're going to medevac you out of here. And that's exactly what they did. They medevac him out to Fresno, I think. And he said that he could feel the skin on his arm beginning to stretch, even as he was being transported.
What's that mean?
Well, it means that the skin is beginning to swell. The tissues underneath the arm are beginning to swell.
And this was on the arm where he was bit. So he's bit on the thumb.
He was bit right on the thumb, right. Make a long story short, Reggie's fine. He survived. His hair turned stark gray.
Why?
In the shock to the system.
You talk about a guy going gray hair. I heard about the same thing.
Yes, it was a shock to the system. And when I went to visit him in the hospital, the tip of his thumb had a bright blue plum-sized blister on it, and I'm telling you, the size of a plum.
On the end of his thumb?
On the end of his thumb. He lost the tip of his thumb, by the way. This is nothing to fool around with a rattlesnake bite. It's nothing to fool around at all.
Wow. So how's he doing now?
Well, he's doing fine, you know, but he's not picking up any rattlesnakes.
Well, I wouldn't. And I don't like them, and I don't handle them. And I found a rattlesnake in my garage a few summers back, and I called animal control.
Yeah, that's kind of chicken, though.
I don't care if it is chicken. I don't care if it is chicken, man. I'm not going to mess around with a rattlesnake, okay? And this was a baby snake. I saw it. It was a baby rattler. It was sitting right there on the floor of my garage. And it was pretty funny because we called L.A. County Animal Control. You'd think that L.A. County Animal Control would be just this hustling, bustling kind of, you know, I don't know, communication center. It was like they had one guy on a bicycle or something.
All right, well, you were living in the Alamo. What part of L.A. County were you living?
Right on the Ventura County border.
Right, well, it's kind of rural. It's not rural, but it's they've got a very – they do not have the largest staff in the world. You're right.
Well, in any event, this guy came out and got this snake, and I don't know what the hell he did with it. But I you know, I'm not going to mess around with it, man. And I'll tell you, every summer, if you got a dog, you know,
well, the dogs get bit.
Right. I mean, if you take a dog to the vet in the summertime in the state of California, or I imagine anywhere in the Southwest or the West, you're going to see about half of the dogs coming in there with snake bite.
Right, because they've got their noses stuck where they shouldn't have them, and they're looking into all these nooks and crannies.
Yeah, and the dogs get bit by these snakes. Now, fortunately, the anti-venom and the way they treat the animals, the survival rate is like really, 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 really high. But man, I'll tell you, unless you see it, if you see your dog get bit, you got a great chance. But if you don't see the dog get bit, and then the dog sort of just has to endure this snake bite for longer than it should, it's bad, you know.
Well, so the recommendation is what then, Chris, on dogs and snakes? I know not to pick one up, you know, but
I'd say keep the dogs and the cats and the kids and everyone clear of these snakes. The rattlesnake, there is a snake called a king snake. It's a brown and yellow snake. That's a good snake, as we like to say, because that's the one that kills rattlesnakes, so you don't want to kill.
Call it what?
Call it a king snake. The king snake. Very distinctive brown and yellow snake, and it's that snake is our friend, and it will kill a rattlesnake.
All right, Chris, thanks for this news on snakes.
I want to tell you the other story, though, that it's very, very short, is that Reggie, who's doing fine today. He's got gray hair. He lost the tip of his thumb, right? And is now out of the magazine business, out of the entertainment business. And he owns a hardware store. And he's a specialist in getting raccoons and this sort of thing out of your attic. Do you know about this?
No.
Right. So if you have a raccoon, or you've got a skunk, or any kind of these sort of critters, as you call them in the United States, you need them out of your... You call up Reggie. He's got an attitude ever since this snake bit him. That's why he's got this great business.
Wait a minute. This is the guy that got bit by the rattlesnake.
Right.
And now he has a business where he goes and gets critters, raccoons, and skunks out of the attic?
Well, yes. People get that, you know.
No, I know that. But he's particularly good.
Yeah, he's good because he got bit by the snake, so he doesn't take any guff from the animals. He goes up, he sees a raccoon, he just as soon beat it to death with a shovel. He's got a bad attitude ever since the snake.
Yeah, he's probably going to want to kill everything he sees.
Yes, he wants to kill everything that walks or crawls. And so he's been very effective that way.
On top of his hardware business.
On top of the hardware business, right. So if you want his number...
Well, I don't need it right now, no.
All right, but he's very good.
All right, Chris, thank you.
Uh-huh.
So what does he do?
Goes up, he beats a raccoon to death.
Yeah, man, beats a raccoon to death. I wonder if that's just a metaphor for his penis.
You shut up, you guys.
Metaphor.
All right, we'll be back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Truth.
Beats the
bitch.
Hell out of a raccoon and a
Phil
skunk.
Hendry Show.
a drag in Oklahoma City, I'll tell you that. And they're working hard, but it's a drag. It's a bad thing, man. It's a tornado, you know? And, man, I'm not going to get on a soapbox about anything because there's nothing really soapbox about. But everybody wants to, you know? Oh, see what happened? I mean, I don't know. Stuff is still happening. It's almost as if we believe that we can prevent anything from happening. And if we don't prevent it from happening, then we are like criminals. Meaning, okay, tornado, that's global warming, and we didn't do anything about it, so look what we did. You know what I mean? Earthquakes. Well, that I remember after the Japanese, the tsunami, the earthquake under the, you know, underwater, and then the tsunami, and the first really dumb thing I heard came from some guy, I think it was a U.S. senator, somebody saying, you see what happens when we ignore global warming? Earthquake?
Yeah, it could be.
Well, you don't know. Yes, the earthquake, the tectonic plates.
Okay, the tectonic plates what?
The tectonic plates are what the earthquake does.
Yeah. Well, the tectonic... What?
What do you mean the tectonic plates are what the earthquake does?
Phil, you're much smarter than a lot of people, and I know what you do. And don't try to make me look like the ass. I'm saying...
I'm not trying to make you look like an ass. I'm trying to find out...
I'm saying... That the global warming that's caused by the earthquakes, it's the other way around.
Yeah, it's the earthquakes caused by the global warm.
The global warming.
Global warming.
Those are the result of the tectonics, is my understanding.
Margaret, you know, you're not saying it too good, okay?
Oh, is that right? Well, why don't you tell me, Mr. Wizard.
Mr. Wizard.
Go ahead, Mr. Wizard, how would you say it?
Mr. Wizard?
Well?
Margaret, all I'm telling you is that earthquakes are not caused by global warming.
I corrected myself.
Right, but they're not, and global warming isn't necessarily caused by earthquakes, and vice versa, whatever. I don't even think that has anything to do with it. How does the temperature in the air or greenhouse gases or anything else, how does that affect tectonic plates?
I think it's all very holistic. Do you know this word holistic? Holistic, Bud? Robert, do you know this word?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
All right. Holistic. What does that mean, holistic? Bud, what do you think it means?
It means there's a hole.
Yes, a hole. Robert?
I don't know.
Phil?
Holistic. It's like a circle, and one thing leads into the other. So everything is connected.
Everything is connected. Very good. I believe in the holistic way, and I think that earthquakes, if you sneeze, a letter, an ant, rain, murder, quicksand, picking your nose, all of this is one thing.
Mine.
But if you say, one more time, I'm going to drive these two fingers through your throat. You see what that's martial arts.
She can't do that, can she?
Margaret, don't threaten him like that.
He's always going, meh.
Well, hold on for a minute. You believe that picking your nose...
I'm trying to give it the holistic nature of the world. You've got a bug, a car, urinating on a gas station... You see what I mean? All the disparate things.
What are you talking about? Urinating on a gas station?
I'm saying, what could be more different from a bug than urinating on a gas station?
Well, what? All right. So all of the weird things.
Not weird. All the things.
All right. Everything is interconnected.
Yeah, I saw one time if a guy went back in time and he killed a bug, that would make the world disappear.
No, man, that's not how it went.
Hold on. I know what Bud's saying. You're talking about one of those sci-fi stories. Yes, everything's holistic. I agree with it. I agree with what you're saying. I think that when they talk about holistic stuff, though, they're talking about more having to do with the mind and the body. They're talking about the individual person. They're talking about treating yourself in terms of your health in a holistic way. So whatever you're eating is also going to affect your mood. Somebody I know, as a matter of fact, Dan, didn't you do that? Our engineer, Dan, wrote down how he was feeling after different foods that he ate, you know?
Now, that sounds interesting. So what were the results?
Well, like if he ate popcorn, he'd want to strangle somebody or something, so he'd stay away from popcorn. If he had...
But peanut butter.
I don't know. Hold on. All right, let's see. Yeah, like peanut butter, he wanted to, you know, have sex with an animal. So there are certain...
Are you kidding me?
I don't know, but I'm saying there's certain things you're going to stay away from.
Well, if you want to, I mean, like, if you want to... Why would you stay away from peanut butter if sex with an animal seemed to be, you know, thing to do?
That's the kind of irresponsible reporting that I'm talking about. Robert's sitting there with a straight face saying that sex with an animal is all right.
No, I said, what if the guy thinks it is?
I don't care what the guy thinks. I think then he goes into a nut house. All right, we'll be back next hour. I don't think we're going to continue this discussion because I don't know where it's going. And frankly, it scares me. A peanut butter and a bug and a car.
It's the holistic way. The holistic way, yay.
Okay, Margaret. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
You talking about a bug?
Look, I got 99 problems, man, and a bug ain't one of them. 99 problems.
Phil Henry.